their progress and not to include students from, you know, international students, because all too often the international students were the students that they put into their numbers to make it appear as if they were bringing in more African-American students, more Black students. And of course, they didn't like that, but it was, they couldn't do anything to me because I was in the General Assembly. But, you know, they didn't respond quickly enough, you know, and it kind of died on the vine. But now, universities, not then, other than Dr. Davidson and Dr. Lewis, I hear very little, if anything, from them.
Before I ask my closing question, where did you end up going to seminary?
I did the HBCU. I went to Virginia Union, okay, down in Richmond. You know, that was my school.
Okay. And what year did you complete that program?
95. I think I went in 93, left in 95.
Okay. And my closing question is, and you've shared so much that I can put into this kind of category throughout this interview, but is there anything you'd like to share, considering your time at the university, as a message to current or future Black students?
I would share with them the fact that networking and supporting one another. I mean, I don't care where you go in life. Networking is critical. And when you think about more than just yourself, when you think about the well-being of the community, it all comes back to you. You know, I'm sure you've heard of some professors saying, I've got mine and you've got yours to get. That kind of a mentality gets you nowhere, as far as I'm concerned. It's the student who's willing to say, I've got mine, let me share it with you. And it always comes back to you. You always, in the end, you benefit. I still get calls from students from University of Southern Cal. I got a call from one 2 weeks ago who's retiring from Northrop Grumman, but remembered me and called me to ask me to help her with a project. She knows a ton of folks. I mean, she's an executive with them, but remembers the days at University of Southern California. And so I would encourage folks to go old school. You know, you've got to take care of one another. And that doesn't exclude other people, but you need to pay attention and to care for one another. Other folk do.
I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to sit for this interview. And it's been really eye-opening, particularly considering your multiple lenses with which you can look at university due to your experiences. And I'm not sure if you have any, but if you have any photos or things of that nature that we might be able to scan a copy of for the oral history project, please let me know. I'm not located in UMD, but we do have University Archive, obviously, staff who are. And we might be able to get those things scanned. And then if you talk to any of your friends who also graduated and you want to mention the program, some people I'm able to find, but some, like you mentioned, her name started with a Z.
Oh, Zavolia.
Zavolia. Yeah.
Z Zavolia, Zavolia Deutsch.
Yep. So I have a letter I'm going to send her. I found a possible address, but if you have any, you know, contact with them and you want to mention the project, please do.
Yeah. Well, I think the Sandage sisters would be a good interview because you've got three young ladies who were attending at the same time. And they all managed to survive and graduate from the place. One lives in, well, Connie lives in Georgia, in Atlanta. And then, but Jean and Gila are still local in Prince George's. So I think they would be good. I can, I have a good number for Jean and for Connie as well. But where did you do your undergrad and grad?
So my undergrad, my path to higher education was winding. So I laughed when you talked about the students who could pinochle themselves right out of college.
Yay.
So I kind of protested my way right out of college. So I went in 1995 and I was out by 97. And then, you know, kind of got my head on straight, had a daughter. Went back to school. I became a respiratory therapist.
Okay.
Did that for about a decade. And then I always, always wanted just as much education as you can get me. So I went back for my bachelor's. So as a mom of three.
Wow.
And, that was 2012 to 2014. I did it in a very accelerated manner. Because
Where did you do it?
I went to Fevel State University here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I got a bachelor's in history, and I was a part of the McNair Scholars Program.
Okay.
And that really helped me build my confidence towards applying to graduate school, because I was really hung up on the age thing and thinking, you know, maybe my brain just wouldn't adapt to these. So I went to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, where I got a master's in ed policy studies, and then I got a PhD in the history of education. And I finished in August of 2020.
Wow. Did you know a guy in Fayetteville, he was at Fayetteville State, I mean, Dr. Harvey, Amanifu Harvey.
What did he teach?
He's a social worker by training.
I don't think I know him. I really was a commuter, so I very much concentrated on the history department.
Right.
So no, I haven't met him, but I can definitely look around because I also am an adjunct instructor there now.
I met him at University of Southern Cal. He was a student when I was working there. And I don't know, I ran across him, at church here in Maryland. And I looked at him, I said, I know you. He said, I'm looking at you thinking, I know you too. And we started talking and we said, University of Southern Cal. That's where we know each other from. And, you know, and then he left this area, you know, went down to teach and retired in North Carolina at Fayetteville. But yeah. Well, you have had a great rag. I mean, and there's a scholarship, matter of fact. I don't know if you know anyone in this area who's already in school, but is a single parent and in school, primarily undergrad, and needs money. There's a scholarship that is being offered by the Deltas, the Potomac Valley Alumni Chapter. Two $5,000 scholarships, but it has to go to a single parent college student, and they're targeting the HBCUs in Maryland and Montgomery College, which is a community college. Only catch is you have to live in Montgomery County because that's where they're based. But you can go to school anywhere. You can go to any HBCU, but they also wanted to target the Maryland HBCUs, you know, Morgan, Howard, Morgan, Bowie, UMES, and Coppin. But it's a good deal. I mean, $5,000, and you don't have to be full-time. You have to take a minimum, like 2-3 courses. So if you know of anyone, let me know. If I can find a flyer, I'll send it to you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed talking to you.
I enjoyed talking to you as well.
I just think what you're doing is so important, because there's stuff that we don't know because it's never been recorded. And we don't know because when we talked about it, folks didn't want to talk about it. And when I told you I had an interview once before, and I guess I didn't say the right thing. And she cut all my stuff out. I think I mentioned something about, you know, white folks used to throw tomatoes at us and call us nigger. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd be driving by and throw it and call us the name. People didn't want to hear that. But that was my reality. So if you're interviewing me, I'm going to tell you what it was like. I'm not going to paint some pretty picture, you know? So, but if there's anything else I can do, if I can locate Glenn and he's willing to talk to you, I'll send him your way. And anybody else that I think has a really unique perspective, Mel Hollis is someone, again, now he wasn't a student.
Right.
But he worked there. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, we used to teach a course. And let me share this real quick. We had a course that we taught. It was a 1-credit course, but it dealt with racial awareness way before its time. And it was, again, something that came out of, I believe, came out of a grant that Mel got, but the students could get 1 credit for it. And so we had these little groups, and they had to read certain things, and then we'd get together and we would talk about the book and we would process some things group wise. And, you know, that was just unheard of back then. That was around 1970, 71. So if I can find any other names of individuals that I think would really give you a different perspective, and said, you know, Kenny. So that's different. But, you know, look up the name Dave Bing, B-I-N-G.
Dave,
yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame for basketball. He applied to University of Maryland. He wanted to come play basketball for University of Maryland. And the coach at that time said that he wasn't college material. And he told him, no, he didn't recruit him. So Syracuse recruited him. He went to Spingarn High School, D.C. Was good enough to make pro ball, good enough to make the Hall of Fame. And the coach, of course, I don't think we had any black ball players until my freshman year. Yeah. Yeah. So that's that. At some point, where are you living?
I am located in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I work remote.
That's right, you said that, yeah. Well, at some point, you know, it would be nice to get to meet you in person. And like I said, anything I can do to help, I'd be more than willing to do. And I'll start thinking about some other folks and send you their names. Some you'll have, some you might not.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A
really enjoyable talk.
And look up Dr. Harvey. Amanifu Harvey.
Can you spell the first name?
I think it's A-M-I-N-U-F, like in Frank, U.
Harvey?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.